This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's a familiar passage. It comes from the 9th chapter, verses 10 through 13. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." May God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the studying of his word. I have been asked, or have heard asked, and maybe even some of you ask an interesting question. And the question is, when I am in heaven with God, will murderers and rapists and child molesters who have accepted the gift of salvation be there just because they ask God to forgive them? In other words, will those who have committed heinous acts but who have accepted what Jesus did on the cross for them be in heaven? Could such fact be a reality? Well, regardless of how we feel about those who commit such deeds, God will welcome them into heaven with open arms if they have accepted the gift of salvation. If they have confessed their sins and repented and asked for his forgiveness and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, they too will be there with us in heaven. And usually the response to that answer is, "Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Those type of people will be in heaven with us, with the believers?" I'm not kidding. Yes, I believe that answer is correct. Let us consider John 3:16. This verse in the New Revised Standard Translation states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Everyone. There's no exception. It does not say except murderers, except child molesters, except rapists, robbers, wife abusers, husband abusers. It says everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Well, how does this statement from God's word apply to people who have committed atrocious acts in their lifetime? Well, the answer to such question can be found by considering the lives of men like the Apostle Paul. Paul authored approximately half of the New Testament. He was the greatest missionary, I believe, who ever lived. The churches he helped start spread Christianity throughout the world. Yet, as Saul of Tarsus, he persecuted Christians unmercifully. He was responsible for the deaths of many, many innocent people, including ones like Stephen, who was stoned. Will Paul be in heaven? What about King David? in the Old Testament. David, whom God chose to slay Goliath. David, whom God chose to be king of the Israelites. David, who wrote most of the book of Psalms. Yet this same David gave instructions for the murder of Uriah the Hittite. This same David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Will King David be in heaven? Moses was chosen by God to lead the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He delivered God's Ten Commandments to the Israelites when he came down from the mountain. And the sixth commandment says, "You shall not murder." Yet the same Moses murdered an Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. Will Moses be in heaven? In God's eyes, sin is sin. And although we like to categorize sin into shades of gray, to God, all sin is bad. In our text, we read that Jesus ate a meal with Matthew's friends who were sinners. And the Pharisees ask his disciples, "Why would Jesus eat with such scum?" And Jesus overheard them questioning the disciples, and he didn't attempt to defend their character. He didn't attempt to gloss over their sins. He didn't attempt to whitewash them into someone that they were not. He knew of their sinful behavior. But he said, healthy people do not need a doctor. Sick people do. And this doesn't mean that Jesus is in denial about the character traits of these people, with the persons with whom he was dining. He contended and said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, there's the rub. There's the issue, is it not? When we come to Jesus, we must admit being a sinner. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a one who can stand before Him and say, "I have not sinned, Lord." So we have to say, "Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned." And in Jesus' eyes, there are no degrees of sinfulness. To Him, a sin is a sin is a sin. We have all fallen short of the mark. We have all missed the target that God set for us to hit when we live out our life the way He wants us to. The Bible states that many will arrive at that judgment day thinking they are deserving of heaven. But they will be rejected. Jesus will say, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers." You know, the Pharisees, we talked about them several Sundays ago, and while sometimes we paint them with a broad brush and maybe characterize all of them in a way that they did not behave, but as a group, they, like many people today, believed that a person could earn points with God towards their salvation. How many times have we heard this in Sunday school and Bible study and from the pulpit that people cannot earn favor with God by being good people? They cannot earn points to get salvation. It's not like the credit card ad you see. You know, you use this so many times and you get all these good points and you can use these points to do all these great things. We have reviewed this many times. The Bible makes it clear that none of us can earn points to receive salvation from God. But the enemy, what does he do? He convinces us. He lies to us. He convinces us that we can do it on our own. We don't need any help. We don't need to confess to God. We don't need to repent. We can live a good life. We can receive salvation. Paul writes in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Isaiah 64:6 states, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." Paul is saying that no one, as a result of his or her actions or deeds, can make themselves worthy enough to receive anything from God, let alone eternal life. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross. That's why Jesus had to die for our sins, because we were not holy enough. We were not righteous enough to be in God's presence, because we could not obey the law. And so God, in His infinite mercy, sent His Son to die for us so that we could have the possibility of salvation. You know, Paul makes an amazing statement in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, "Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life." God, in His mercy, gives us, the worst of sinners, the opportunity to be cleansed, to become holy enough, to become righteous enough to spend eternity with Him. And Paul finally saw himself as God saw him. He considered himself to be the worst of sinners, which did not matter to God. The great fact is, Paul changed from being the scum of the earth to being someone of value and worth to God, because he accepted that gift of salvation. He became a believer. He became a follower of Jesus. He was totally restored and forgiven, because that's why Jesus was sent here, to heal, to restore, to show mercy, and to forgive. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." King David repented of his sin, and God forgave him. God says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not by works, so that no one can boast." We can't take one iota of credit for our salvation. No matter how you can, if you can even fathom the smallest amount that can be determined by man's mind, we could not even contribute that to our own salvation. It is a gift from God, and by its very nature of being a gift, it is free. You know, we talked about this, I think, the end of last year. We talked about all these free gifts that we see on television. If we'll just send $12.95 shipping and handling, we'll get a free gift. Well, it's not free, is it? You had to pay something for it. But salvation is free. And none of us can boast about achieving it by the result of anything we have done. I am sure that we shall see Moses and David and Paul in heaven. I shall see some of those persons who were convicted in my court. We shall see some of those who are the worst of sinners, and I shall be one of them. We need not be a murderer or rapist or child molester to be a sinner. So we must view ourselves through the filter of the Bible and not through the rose-colored glasses of our own making. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Let us pray. Father, we come on bended knee, asking your forgiveness, asking that you forgive those sins that we consider not too bad. Things that we do which are not as bad as our neighbor or as our co-worker or as the person sitting next to us in the pew in your church. Father, we know your word teaches that sin is sin. And only through receiving your gift of salvation can we be washed with the blood of the Lamb so that we can spend eternity with you. Send your Holy Spirit to touch the hearts of those who are not aware of that fact this morning and lead them to repent and seek your forgiveness. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 563. And if the Holy Spirit has been touching your heart and has been tugging at you to accept that gift of salvation, to ask for your sins to be forgiven, we invite you to come forward as we sing hymn number 563.